Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
How regularly do you read your Bible? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me to answer that question, well, of course, I can't answer that question for you, but to talk about this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. And we're looking at an article that was in an insert with the Deseret News, and it was titled, Many People Own a Bible, But Not Many Read It Regularly.
Bill, where do you think in the Bible a fool and his money are soon parted? Where would that be found?
Well, I don't think it's worded like that at all. So
yeah,
there's nothing like that.
Yeah,
so.
It's actually a poem, 500 Points of Good Husbandry by Thomas Tusser. It's not actually in the Bible. A lot of people would think it is. How about God helps those who help themselves?
Oh, we hear that all the time, but certainly that's not in there either. Basically, God helps those who can't help themselves.
That's exactly right. Well, that's found in a book called Discourses of Government from the 17th century, or God Helps Them That Help Themselves is from the Poor Richard's Almanac. And we have cleanliness is next to godliness.
Oh, that's a common one. But yeah. How many people believe, for instance, that there were three wise men? I mean, every Christmas we see the three camels, and there could have been. There could have been, because they're mentioned as three gifts, but not necessarily three wise men. And also, how many believe that the wise men were there when Jesus was born?
Yeah.
Certainly that's not found in the Bible.
You mean that's not true, Bill?
No. Well, good grief. Anyway, the point of bringing all this up is that this article was talking about how a lot of people own a Bible, but not many read it regularly. And we were talking about the problem that we see when it comes to Mormonism, that many of those people who join the Mormon church come from a Christian background, but yet they don't know enough of the Bible to discern the errors that are being taught in the Mormon church today. For instance, you have the first vision story. Now, I personally don't believe the first vision is a true story at all. There's no evidence to show that Joseph Smith was teaching the first vision in the early years of the Mormon church. I personally believe he made the story up as he went along. But when people hear the story of the first vision, how Joseph Smith claimed to have seen God the Father and Jesus standing above him in the air, why is it those people who come from a Christian background would not know that Exodus 33:20 says it's impossible to see God and live? Right there, you should see a flaw in Joseph Smith's story, but nobody catches that.
Well, and a lot of times people will take verses out of their context to make them say things that aren't really there. So, I mean, we hear this all the time, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, and they may not even know exactly where it is or have ever read the context. But once you read the context, you understand that's not exactly what that is saying, and that happens so many times.
Well, this article is bringing out that many people in the United States do certainly own a Bible. In fact, the average is they own 4.4 copies of the Bible. So you can just guesstimate that anywhere on your block, someone has several copies of their Bible in their house. But do they read it? Do they read it regularly? And of course, many of them, I would have to say, do not. And if they're reading it, they're certainly not comprehending what they're reading. And this is a problem, and this is why false religions grow like they do. They prey on what you think you might know, rather than what the truth of the matter really is all about.
There, in this article, it talks about the History Channel's miniseries on the Bible. It aired in March.
Now, I did watch that.
42% of the Americans polled actually did. That's a pretty high percentage, who saw at least a portion of that. And I'm going to ask you, Bill, how many of those people watched this and took that as gospel truth, finding out new things that maybe they never knew before? But was that series completely accurate?
Well, I had some real struggles with it because I'm watching this and I'm going, wait a minute, that's not the way. Here's what gets me about shows like that. God gives us a script, but man refuses to follow the script. I guess poetic license, artistic license, call it what you will, man thinks that they can somehow do it a little bit better. when you look at some of the older portrayals of, let's say, the life of Jesus, The Greatest Story Ever Told, for instance, that film came out, what, back in the 60s, I think it was?
I don't remember.
Max von Sydow played Jesus. They said that that film was never going to be any good because it stuck very close to Scripture. Now, most of it was filmed in Utah. In fact, you can recognize Dead Horse Point at Canyonlands if you look very closely at that film. But it stuck very close to the Scripture. It doesn't get everything chronologically in order, like where Jesus said certain things. Okay, I can give him a pass on that. But the point is, a lot of these shows, especially that series that was on the History Channel, I noticed that they left out a lot of the real good sound bites, if you will, that the Bible gives us. It's like, well, why didn't they include, you know, Daniel saying this or whatever? They don't. And they miss a lot of good points to bring out a very impactful verse out of the Bible. Many times, historically, they get it wrong. For instance, when you watch that series, when they talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, you don't really know why they're going to destroy the cities. And then you've got these angels that are there doing these ninja moves. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I go, what? What is this all about? Angels are fighting these people off, doing all these karate motions. And I thought, oh, come on. You wouldn't even understand why God was concerned about the sin that was involved in those cities by watching this film. Was it politically correct? Because let's be serious, homosexual issue, we can't put it in a bad light nowadays without you being called a bigot. We can't even look at what the Bible actually has to say on these issues.
In this article, it said 69% said that the miniseries gave them a surprise or new discovery. Now, that might have been something that was true.
Sure gave me some.
Yeah, well, I guess you would have answered yes on that. Yeah. And I doubt very many of them even knew where to go looking to find out what the Bible really said about it. They just watched it as it came on, and a lot of us are just too lazy to do our own research.
And then you had some really kind of strange things, like the story of Samson. Samson was a black man who had dreadlocks.
Yeah.
I mean, wait a minute. Samson was from the tribe of Dan. I don't know if they had a lot of Negroid people in the tribe of Dan. Why did they do that? It could be that the producers were trying to draw a parallel with a group of Ethiopian Jews who claim that they are of the tribe of Dan. But that does not necessarily mean that Samson himself would have had black skin.
There was a stat in here that I think we need to talk about. It said 47% of the people that were polled believe that the Bible, Quran, and Book of Mormon are all different expressions of the same truth. What's your reaction on that?
In order to really give an accurate appraisal of all three of those books, you would have to, first of all, read all three of those books. Do you really think 47% of those people had actually taken the time to read the Bible, to read the Book of Mormon, and read the Quran?
Yep.
Now, I've read a lot of the Quran, but I will confess I've never really sat down and read it cover to cover. Now, you have.
I have.
I've read lots of it. But I certainly, from the portions that I've read, and I've read a lot of it, I would never draw the conclusion that they were just different expressions of the same truth. And I doubt if a Muslim would draw that conclusion.
I've never met one.
No, I wouldn't think so. What does that really mean? If they're going to make a statement like that, what is it based on? It's based on a personal opinion that really cannot be very well verified. Well, it's just personal opinion.
Many people are going to say, as long as you're sincere, that's this pluralistic idea that all religions have some kind of truth in it. The elephant illustration is used a lot of times, and maybe that's what they're thinking. In fact, Jesus is mentioned in all three of those. And so, yeah, you got Jesus, you got God. What more do you need?
And this whole understanding that many people have that, you know, all religions are the same. Well, that's kind of ignorant because all the religions would admit they're not the same. That's what makes them distinct, and that's why a lot of people believe that their particular view is true as opposed to all the other views.
Our friend Michael Wilder, we've had him on the show before from Adams Road Band. He became a Christian as a Mormon missionary when he was challenged by a pastor to read the Bible as a child, and he starts reading the Pauline epistles, and he gets challenged. You have somebody that just recently, story.
I was recently talking to a young man who had come out of Mormonism, and he told me that when he was on his mission, he was encouraged, I believe by his mission president, to read the Bible, and he did. And he said that when he got to the New Testament, he realized that the Jesus in the New Testament was not the Jesus that he had grown up believing in as a Latter-day Saint.
Wow.
How many times have we heard that? We've heard that many, many times. When they read the New Testament, especially when they get to the epistles, let's say, and they start reading what Paul has to say about salvation, how it's justified by faith without the works of the law, they realize, wait a minute, what the church has been telling me is not what the Bible actually says. Mm. And when they do read it, as Micah did, as a child, trying to set aside all his presuppositions mm-hmm. that he had as an LDS member, and to just read it for what it actually says, how his eyes were open and how the eyes of many other people that we have seen come to faith out of the Mormon church who have done just that. We hear it all the time. God's word is powerful. If you really want to know what God's word had to say, I believe God's going to allow you to know what it has to say. It's encouraging to know that there are a lot of people who have taken that test. And if you're a Latter-day Saint and you've never done it, I would offer you that test. Read it like a child. Just take the Bible, go through the New Testament, and ask yourself, is this really the Jesus of Mormonism?
I'm going to suggest a website. There are many of them, but BibleGateway.com has a number of programs that you can actually use that can be mailed to your email or actually sent to your phone. All kinds of different programs out there. 61% of the people polled here said they wish they read the Bible more, but it was time that was the issue. Well, have it sent to somewhere where you actually would be, like on Facebook. How much time do you spend on Facebook? If you're a Christian out there and are not reading your Bible regularly, you really need to. You need to get into God's Word. Get into a good church where they're preaching the Word of God, but also get into it for yourself.
Bible knowledge is kind of like having knowledge about a foreign language. Many people only know just enough to get themselves in trouble. And as Christians, really, we do not have that kind of an excuse. If you are a professing Christian, if you really love God, you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, why wouldn't you want to read the word that he has left for us?
Amen.
And it's only in reading that word and understanding that word and applying that word that you're going to be effective in your Christian witness. Let this be an encouragement to you to look into this much more deeply than you may already have.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic. And this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.